false prophet leaves his wife and ministry behind in order to pursue his own desires. And TV personality Chrissy Teigen is being canceled when it was found that she called for a 16-year-old to commit suicide. But you should see some of the other tweets she's been forced to delete. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about those within quote-unquote Christendom. I don't believe this man we'll be talking about was inside of the Christian bubble, so to speak, or under the umbrella of Jesus Christ, because he's a false prophet. But we'll also be talking about Chrissy Teigen, though somebody who is obviously outside, knowingly outside of the spectrum of the Christian faith. And this is somebody who is a very, very big TV personality. But one of the things that is happening in her life is she's being canceled right now. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about Jeff Janssen, the recent false prophet who has now been kicked to the curb by his own ministry. Now, Jeff Janssen was the co-founder of, it is called Global Fire Ministries, and that ministry, not only I don't believe is a true biblical ministry, and I'll tell you why, but that ministry has come out, and basically the board there, including his wife, he who he's currently married to, but will soon be his ex-wife, has come out and explained as of an email on May 5th that he is no longer to be with the ministries because he's going to pursue his own desires. And a lot of this has to do, and sadly, they are more ambiguous than some might want, but nonetheless, they're being somewhat ambiguous when it comes to why exactly he's being let go from the ministry. And I have to say, and I use that term ministry very, very lightly, not in the serious tone I would use for somebody who actually is involved with Jesus Christ and knowing Jesus Christ and doing ministry on his behalf. But Jeff Janssen is a self-proclaimed prophet. In fact, in April, and this is going to be really sad because in April, he actually doubled and then tripled down later that Trump was going to be president. He had prophesied that Trump was going to be president. And then he said the military was going to help him. And basically the military was going to make sure that Trump ended up being president. And this was a lie that was found on QAnon, not really QAnon, but at least its supporters, that it was very common, especially on Parler. I believe Lynn Wood was the name of the person kind of propagating this probably most out of anyone. And in all honesty, it seems like he fell for the trick and said that this was really God speaking. And the problem with that is that when God speaks, he is never in error, ever. And this man is a false prophet. And according to Deuteronomy, you have 13 and 18. You can go to either one as well when it comes to testing the prophets. But if they are wrong ever, you have no fear of them. You should not think of them as a true prophet of God. And I don't find anywhere in the New Covenant where we are given a place where they say, well, when you have the New Covenant, now the Holy Spirit residing inside of every believer, now those prophecies will be less accurate. I don't find that anywhere in the New Testament. And I've asked people who do affirm false prophets as still being prophets of God, just seeing through the glass darkly and so forth. And I've asked them, where do we find in Scripture this negation of testing the prophets to see if they're truly from God? And I have yet to find a verse that says you can be a true prophet of God and commit a false prophecy and put forth a false prophecy. And that's exactly what Jeff Janssen had done multiple times and tripled down, doubled down, and so forth on that topic. And on May 5th, as I mentioned earlier, there was an email sent out from their ministry, Global Fire Ministries, and it says this: "It is with deep sorrow that Jeff Jansen has been asked by his board to step down as a co-senior leader of Global Fire Church and from Global Fire Ministries due to unscriptural and unbiblical behavior. He was asked to step down in April, and this was made public to the church body on May 2nd, 2021. A statement was released to the partners and friends on May 5th. The statement goes on to say, a pattern of making poor moral choices and bad coping mechanisms and character flaws. They also said he had fallen below biblical standards laid out for those in leadership and that he had been confronted for his behavior over a period of time. And rather than submit to the process of healing and restoration, Jeff recently made an intentional decision to leave his wife and family to pursue his own desires. He remains unrepentant and unremorseful." Now, I think that last part may be the saddest statement of the entire email. Well, first of all, that this person who is a false prophet leading a ministry, that right there is really, really heartbreaking. And I have to point this out because this has typically been part and parcel when it comes to a lot of these movements is a lot of them are dictated off of feelings, right? Rather than the word of God proclaimed as truth and explaining and exegeting text and making sure that our lives are in accordance with his word, making sure that when it comes to our teaching and our preaching and so forth, that as Paul told Timothy to watch your life and your doctrine, in doing those, you'll save yourself and those who hear you, right? One of the worries about installing young elders and so forth in churches was the fact that they would be installed at too young of a time and they'll be puffed up and fall under the same condemnation as Satan. And I don't know about that is his case, but obviously he goes with his feelings. And in a number of the churches that I have known to have had people that have fallen for things like this, typically of the sexual variety, even those of like the Todd Bentleys and so forth, when you are moved by emotion over and over again and not by the word of God, ultimately as your authority, and you think that those emotions and those feelings are from God rather than checking them at the door and saying, wait a second, I need to test the spirits, see if they are in accordance with God's word. Rather than doing that, you are taken away from the true God, and really who you're worshiping is an idol. It's an idol that you look at in the mirror every day. And it's really, really sad. And I think that the book of Proverbs probably gives us some of the best understanding about this. And I want to say this, if you have been following Jeff Jansen and you've been following this guy's quote unquote ministry, if you're someone who's been caught up in ministries like this, or even if you caught up in a ministry where the person seemed biblical and you thought, man, I really thought this person was legit, I want to tell you, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's me or anyone else. You need not place your faith in any man. That includes your pastor. That doesn't mean that you're like, oh, he's nothing or anything like that. That's not what the Bible says at all. But what we should do is ultimately our faith should be completely in Christ. And regardless of what any man happens to do, if a man turned away from the scriptures and no longer followed them and so forth, if a man who was your pastor or leader or somebody who was discipling you or so forth, if they did any of that, where they turned away from what the biblical Jesus is, they turned away from who he is and what his word says, we need to do exactly and make sure that we have our hearts checked before something like that could even take place. In fact, in Jeremiah 17:5, it calls a cursing on somebody who puts their trust in men. It says, "Thus says the Lord, curse the man who trusts in mankind and makes his flesh in strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord." We need to make sure that we don't, and I don't care who it is, put them on such high a pedestal that if they turned away from Christ, that we would follow suit. We cannot do that with anybody. And one of the things that Proverbs says over and over and over again is to guard our heart. Guard our hearts, because those things can happen. In fact, it can happen even in a loving relationship. I know of couples where one spouse brought the other spouse to the Lord, and then that spouse who had brought that spouse to the Lord no longer follows. And it doesn't mean you now follow suit with them. Once you have that anchor, you do not let go of it. Let Christ be your anchor. Let it be settled, you and him forever. What his word says, that you can go back and read God's word, meditate on it day and night, and make sure that that is your anchor, that you always go back to it. Remember that it was Jesus. And I think about this, right? In John 17, and I bring this verse up a lot, but you think about when that is taking place, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane crying out before he's about to be taken and before he eventually will be crucified and will eventually resurrect. But some of those prayers that he prayed, I think, should be of utter importance to us. And one of them being the fact that when Jesus talked about sanctification in the Garden of Gethsemane, while he was having hematidrosis, the amount of the weight of what was going to take place was popping his capillaries. So he was sweating blood, as Luke, the physician, records to us. And we recognize that he says, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. God's word being the truth, and that is that thing we should be washing our wives in. That's the thing that we should be washing in, that we should be meditating on, and making sure that when we go back and understand that, we recognize it is his word that we are sanctified by through the Holy Spirit as we, guess what, write his word in our heart so that we don't sin against him. And this is why when you have the scriptures written on your heart, It puts that stop gap, right? It puts that ace in the hole. It puts that, wait a second, when it comes to someone asking a question or so forth, or when it comes to, hey, should we all go out? And I'll just give you a couple examples. If somebody says, hey, we're going to be having a drinking party, do you want to come, Chad? Whether it's at a secular, you know, work, I've been invited to those when I was working in the secular field and so forth. And I would say, oh, sorry, that's a non-negotiable. Why? Well, 1 Peter 4:3 is very, very clear on that. 1 Peter 4, when Peter talks about it, he says, the time of the Gentiles, those time to run as if the Gentiles, those time to run as if you are not a believer, those have already passed. But we are not going to be ones that go to drinking parties, that do these things, that other idolatries and so forth. I'm not going to be doing those things. So I don't have to question it. It's already written on my heart. That's not a part of my lifestyle because the word of God goes against it. You know, when somebody says, hey man, you want to watch this movie? Or if somebody said to you, you know, let's go just turn on some Harry Potter. Let's go have some fun watching some witchcraft. I know full well that the Bible's very clear, whether it's Revelation chapter 21 and so forth, that talks about witchcraft and those who practice witchcraft, guess where they're going? They're going to the lake of fire. They're not going to heaven. So I'm not going to entertain myself with those very things that are going to send people to hell. I won't do it. Right? When it comes to pornography, looking at pornography and so forth, it is porneo. It is sexual immorality. Jesus was very clear in his word that if you look at a woman and lust upon her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Cut out your eye, or pluck out your eye, cut off your hand and so forth. So these are the sanctifying word of God going into our hearts so that we don't practice those things. And when it comes to those sins, we recognize, wait a second, I'm not going to do the very thing that put my Lord on the cross. I'm not going to practice these things. God's word is very clear on sin, and I just make that, bam, it's over. I don't have to question it. It never comes into my thought. Maybe I should start going to drinking parties and getting more involved with that. Maybe I should start watching a little more porn. Maybe I should start getting involved with the Harry Potters and so forth and dressing up like a wizard and everything and calling it entertainment. No, it's cut off. It's done. I don't think about it. I would never even question it. And I wouldn't want anyone to be like, oh, this seems normative because of your behavior. Because, hey, you're somebody who teaches youth groups, you're someone who teaches on podcast shows, and you practice this behavior, it must be okay for me. I would never let that. And my heart, I'm not going to be fooled by desire. I'm not going to be fooled by those things because the Bible's really clear, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than anything else and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? We need to make sure our hearts are renewed in Christ. We need to make sure that when it comes to the flesh, we're putting it to death, that we're laying our old self dead, rendering it dead over and over again. And I think this, when it comes to listening to that or reading that, and you're listening podcast or watching on video and seeing that email that was sent out warning people of what took place for this man to have the ministry leave behind, one of the things is simply putting too much credit for yourself, building yourself up as if you are something special. And so when people come and bring a rebuke to you, that you go, how could you do such thing, right? How can you touch God's anointed and so forth? These bad arguments that are not scriptural whatsoever. Imagine David, of all people, with Nathan the prophet rebuking him, telling him, you are the man and so forth. And then him turning alongside of, how could you touch God's anointed? Then we wouldn't have the 51st Psalm, one of the most beautiful Psalms when it comes to a Psalm of repentance. But that's what we get when somebody actually comes and rebukes us. When the word of God is used for what the word of God says it is used for in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, for rebuking, for the training in righteousness. So we would be adequately equipped. Okay, these things are important. So let's go to Proverbs. I'm going to start in 12:1. I actually made my son memorize this, and we actually don't call people stupid. The Bible says don't call anyone a fool. But I say, hey, one of the things when you're memorizing this verse is recognizing that it's saying something about the person. It's saying something about the person that meets these qualifications. And so we want to say, do we want to meet these qualifications? Some we do, some we don't. So we'll read Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, and he who hates correction is stupid. And so we do not want to be the people that hate correction. We don't want the people that when somebody brings up something against us, we go, how could you ever say that about me? No, we say, let's actually look at this. Let's make sure what they're saying is true. That's all obviously important. And if it is true, let's fix it. It should be that simple. That should be the mind and heart of the believer. That when someone brings correction, we say, you know what? I do need to fix that. I remember as a new believer, I didn't know anything about foul language. I didn't know anything about cussing and so forth and what the Bible said about it. And I came from a background where my language was very, very bad before I was saved. I did not quell my tongue in any way. I was a foul-mouthed, blasphemous individual before I came to Christ. So when I came to Christ, I had no idea what the Word of God said. And my friend was talking actually with another brother in Christ. And he said a word to him. And he said, hey, you know, as you grow in Christ, you'll stop having to use those words. And my friend was very offended. And I was very offended for my friend. I can't believe he would say something like that. Show me the Bible verse. And then I read things in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. I read in Ephesians chapter 4. I read Hosea 4, 2 when it talks about profanity. I read about Peter using language specifically to prove that he was not a disciple. When somebody came up, when a little girl came up and asked him, and when somebody asked him, hey, we can tell by your language, you're one of his disciples and so forth. So we recognize the power of that. And also reading James chapter 3 and chapter 4, specifically chapter 3, when it comes to bridling the tongue and making sure I'm somebody who is of the Holy Spirit, who has self-control. We want to make sure that we're like that. But that's just a small indication or a small example of taking discipline and saying, you know what? I was the one that was wrong. I do need to bridle my tongue. It is true. But we don't want to be someone who hates correction. Proverbs will stay in chapter 12, verse 3. It says, a man cannot be established through wickedness, but righteous cannot be, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. If this man was walking in righteousness, if he had the breastplate of righteousness on, not committing false prophecies and not doing these immoral acts that it mentions, he wouldn't be leaving his wife and leaving his ministry. We want to make sure that we recognize that a man will not be established through this wickedness. Ultimately, as Psalm 73 says, remember Psalm 73, it's one of my favorite Psalms. There's some sadness in it. You know, my feet had almost slipped and so forth. But one of the things you recognize is that when he took a second to step into the sanctuary of God, he recognized the end of the wicked that he was looking at saying, they're never hungry, they're never this. And he was making a caricature of the wicked as if they have everything right and everything good and his life was terrible. And then we recognize their end. And so we recognize that there cannot be a true edifice of the cornerstone without the cornerstone. When you're doing it through wickedness, it will never happen. And what about the heart? That thing that we're supposed to guard, that thing we're supposed to watch, the thing that is desperately wicked, who could know it when it's not made brand new with Christ, through Christ and through his Holy Spirit. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. That's actually said twice in Proverbs. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. These things are really, really important. These are things we meditate on and listen to counsel. Have somebody in your life that if you're a Timothy, they're a Paul, they're teaching you and they're growing you in the Word of God so that you're not that person that lets your heart be led astray. You're not that person that thinks their way is right, but in the end is led to death. Proverbs 19:20 is very similar. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. These things are really, really important. And I wanted to point out Proverbs chapter 3. And a lot of times I think Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6 and so forth are probably some of those verses that a lot of people are like, hey, that's my favorite verse. And I think it should be. It should guide our lives. And these are the ones that you see on mugs and so forth. But I think all Proverbs 3, 1 through 6, I think they should be all a good lesson for us. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. I guess Jeff Jansen needs to do this and needs to repent. We pray for his repentance. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. This is something I really do hope for when it comes to Jeff Jansen for his repentance. Obviously, right now he's trying to fulfill the desires of his heart. Those desires are not in accordance with the will of God. When you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these things are added unto you. That doesn't mean you get to be rich and so forth, which I'm sure he was a preacher of and this nonsense. But what it means is that no matter what the situation, that you can actually have Philippians 4:13 as a part of your life, that through him, through Christ, you can do all things through him who strengthens you. And what are those all things? Being content, whether you're abased or abound, whether you are poor or whether you are rich in this world in terms of money, you can be rich in Christ. And that's what we want in our lives. That's what's most important. That is what needs to be most esteemed. And so I do hope that this man would turn from his wicked ways, that he'd put his trust in Jesus Christ. And not only him, and we're talking about a false prophet. These things are dangerous. People being led astray. People put their faith in him when they shouldn't have, and now it feels like they've been cursed and so forth. But I want to talk a little bit about not cancel culture and so forth, but Chrissy Teigen right now, if you don't know, is being canceled somewhat. And that's because of a socialite from England, Courtney Stodden. She is very big in England, and she was a 16-year-old girl when she married a 50-year-old man, and it was all over the internet. It was a very popular topic and so forth, and she is a very scantily clad, dressed woman with a lot of plastic surgery, and that's who she is, and you can see that a lot of her life is based on getting a reaction from people online, and one of those reactors is Chrissy Teigen. And Chrissy Teigen, and now I want to say Courtney Stodden is now, I believe this was about 10 years ago this happened. Courtney Stodden is now divorced from that 50-year-old man. She believes that she was groomed by him. But one of the things that came out was that Chrissy Teigen was actually tagging her, hashtagging her name and so forth, while it was being known that she was going to marry this guy and she was very popular. And at that time, she was saying all sorts of things. And I'll read a few things. It says, "Rye curvy bod, never cease to make me laugh out loud. Thank you so much, Courtney Stodden. You are truly a Twitter dream. Courtney Stodden, I hate you. Why do you speak like a Fabio book?" She says, "Do you have a family? What drugs make you do that with your mouth? Asking for a friend who really wants to know how to look like an idiot. Thanks." And all of those things, mind you, are Chrissy Teigen as a grown woman writing to a 16-year-old girl. And then she says this, "My Friday fantasy, you, dirt gnat, baby," implying suicide. And Courtney Stodden actually said that she emailed her wrote her private messages telling her to commit suicide. And so people like Candace Owens and so forth, they're calling for her cancelization. We do recognize that suicide is a big problem, especially with young adults and teens. It is one of the leading causes of death now in teens, and COVID-19 lockdowns and so forth did not help that whatsoever. So we do see the seriousness of it. But I have to ask, did nobody look at other tweets that Chrissy Teigen had written before? Does no one look and see exactly why we wonder if the things like Pizzagate and so forth are true concerning pedophilia? And I haven't even gone into that, and we'll probably have to do some episodes coming up on specifically some of these people in Hollywood who have said some pretty gross things regarding children. But I want to read some of the tweets that didn't get as much viral attention that they probably should have. And these are back from 2012, and this is Chrissy Teigen. She has now deleted these. So I'm going to read a ton of them, and they're kind of hard to stomach. So if you're not ready for this, I totally understand. You guys can turn this off, and hopefully you're blessed by the proverb teaching. But I'm going to read them, and you guys tell me about some cancelization that probably should have happened already. And by the way, I just want to say, I don't know anything about the Pizzagate in terms of whether or not that was true. I don't want to make anyone think, oh, Chad, you know, false for all these conspiracies. There is some very weird stuff going on. That's the one thing I can say. And there obviously is a pedophile problem in Hollywood. That's without a doubt. You can see our documentary on Bryan Singer and some of the other people in Hollywood where this has come out, including Roman Polanski, who takes off and lives other places and people honor him. But nonetheless, let's get back to Chrissy Teigen. Here are some of the tweets, and I have no order for them. I'm just going to read quite a few of them, and you guys get to see just how gross this person truly is in her heart. Out of the overflow of the wicked mind, so they tweet, apparently. It always weirds me out how strong little toddlers' tummies can look, and I'm aware how absolutely disturbing that sounds. A belly and a shirt with a small sexy toddler on it saying number one, duh, what does a guy wear to a toddler's and tiara party? I'm bored, really want to watch kids give birth. Where can I watch teens giving birth? MTV? I mean, that doesn't make sense, but I'll try. I'm about to Anthony Weiner this kid. And if you guys remember, Anthony Weiner was actually caught sending some pretty disgusting photos to underage girls. Chrissy Teigen, seeing little girls do the splits half naked is just, I want to put myself in jail. Hashtag toddlers and tiaras. Absolutely grotesque. Honestly, disgusting behavior. And this is somebody who has been a popular TV personality, Twitter personality. Her and her husband, John Legend, are considered one of the top couples in terms of who we should look up to, according to plenty of people online. But when we look at these things, we really see how debased someone has to be able to type that out and then press tweet and keep those up until someone points it out. We've gone over, if you go through our series, the pornography series we did for Good Fight Ministries on our YouTube channel. And you guys can check that out. I believe it's in the How Porn Became the New Norm video. We talk about celebrities and so forth, pushing pornography, pedophilia, and things like that. James Gunn talking about some horrific things as well, just as sick as some of the stuff Chrissy Teigen has said. But we are canceling somebody for this suicide thing, and rightfully so. While this has been going on, and people knew that she had said things like this, and we've just accepted it, and I believe this is just part and parcel with what is happening in the culture. You have people just saying, hey, people are born this way. Oh, this is just funny. This comedy needs to be out there. This is okay to talk about. But the moral compass, I guess, in Hollywood, we should not expect it to be too high. But this one, I hope that it should make you repulsed if you have any sort of pulse whatsoever, and to see this, and for people looking up to these Hollywood stars, guys, I just want to encourage you, turn to Jesus, turn to him now. If you've said terrible things like this, if you've laughed at things like this and you thought it was funny, turn to him now. You're a part of the coarse jesting that God does hate and Christ did die for. So I just want to encourage you guys, whether you're Jeff Jansen, whether you're Chrissy Teigen or anyone else, I want to encourage you guys right now, turn to Christ. He is good. He is loving. He's with open arms. His eyes go to and fro. And guess what, guys? He is willing if you would turn, repent, and come to him. God bless.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.